5:02. Call this meeting order for Land and Natural Resources Culture Preservation Committee, November 7, 2017. Ask for invocation from that Representative Beaver. Mm-hmm. Offer that prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, and I thank you for this beautiful day of goodness, Lord. Lord, just thank you for allowing us to come together here, Lord, and do the tribe's business, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just have your wisdom upon us, Lord. Lord, just be with our families, Lord, wherever they may be, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you again for everything you've done for us, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Next, we have this roll call.
Okay. Joe Proctor.
Here.
Mark Randolph.
Present.
Doe Beaver.
Here.
Thomas Shahola.
Here.
Mitch Jack. Chairman, I have 4 present, 1 absent.
4 present, 1 absent. Constitutes a quorum, and any business conducted this evening will be official. Next we have is approval minutes for October 10th, 2017, in committee time to review and ask for a motion. Changes by Thomas Shahola.
Second
by Dale Beaver. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Next we have is order of business. A camp and camp house and fellowship hall grant applications. New York ceremony ground. Ms. Liz Thompson. And this was being addressed from last month's meeting. Last month we had approved your application, but now you have you want to go through the contractor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything stays the same, just that we asked Ryan Harrod, I believe that was his name, to come and redo our camp for us because our originally, we were going to do it ourselves, but the guys couldn't get their stuff together, and it just kind of all fell through. So we thought it would be best if we went this way instead.
Okay. Any questions, Mark?
Motion to pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph. Second by Tom Shahola. Roll call.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor and 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we have is TR-17-148, a tribal resolution of the Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a memorandum of agreement among the United States Army Corps of Engineers, Charleston District, the South Carolina State Historic Preservation Officer, and Bishop Gadsden regarding the expansion of Bishop Gadsden Retirement Community, Charleston County, South Carolina. Sponsor Thomas Shahola.
Motion for due pass.
Motion for due pass by Thomas Shahola.
Second.
Second by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
Mr. Proctor, you want to address this for us, please?
Sure. Well, actually, I'm sitting in for our tribal archaeologist, Leanna Wendt, who is very ill right now. But she's kind of, she's been watching this project. As Mr. Proctor said, it's the Gaston expansion program. It's a retirement community that they're building south of Charleston, South Carolina. It's on James Island. During an archaeological survey on the project, Site 38C 2105 was noted, and during the field investigation, pottery and lithics were found as well as the burial. Once the burial was located, all work was stopped. 25-foot buffer zone was placed around the burial, and the Charleston District contacted Cultural Preservation and asked how they wanted to proceed once they found the burial. As a tribe, our stance is that all burials must remain in situ, but however, the applicant wanted to remove the burial and rebury them on property further away so they could build on the area. After speaking with the Corps about our wishes, they spoke with the applicant, and after several months of back and forth and additional field investigations, the applicant decided to tweak their plans and leave the burial in place. Since the adverse effect will occur on site, the MOA must be put in place. The burial will be part of a green space, and there will be no building on the burial. They found one remain there. Well, actually, she says that they consisted of a gun flint, 14 fragments of bone, historic ceramics, and 7 pieces of pottery, and we don't know whether the remains are Muskogee or Catawba. And the Catawba people are the only ones that have expressed an interest also in this burial. So, mm-hmm. So we need the MOA there to be able to have the Corps to keep this burial in place. And that's what this is for.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any questions? Yes, Dale.
So who's responsible for keeping the upkeep of this area? Is it the Corps?
It'll be the Gaston properties.
The Gaston properties?
Yeah.
And that's the property that wanted to actually do the expansion?
Yes.
And so this MOA will make sure that they will not disturb that property
right.
from here on out.
Right.
Okay.
Mark, any questions?
No.
All right. No more questions. Roll call vote.
Thomas Shahala?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, have 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
All right.
Next item we have is TR17-149. Tribe resolution of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the principal chief to execute a national purchasing cooperative interlocal participation agreement between the Muskogee Creek Nation and National Purchasing Cooperative. Sponsors Dale Beaver.
Chairman, make a motion to do pass.
Motion for due pass by Dale Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
Mr. Holby.
Well, the agreement is with Byboard. It's kind of similar to what the GSA and the NJPA prices are. And we found that this making a purchase through them right now, it would save us roughly, I think it was $20,000 on a dump truck, which would be complete instead of having to buy each part of the dump truck. And the prices are comparable. We can save 3% off of them compared to what NJPA is. And then with GSA, we're getting 3% off the state contract. So it's just another place we can get quotes from and try to save money wherever we can.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So really,
yeah, go ahead.
So really you're just expanding your options of where you can purchase equipment from?
Make everybody a little more competitive with each other.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Any questions? No questions? Roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, have 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Next item we have is NCA 17-207. A law of the Muskogee Creek Nation authorizing the expenditure of funds awarded from the United States Environmental Protection Agency for the Muskogee Creek Nation Geospatial Department. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion due pass.
Motion for due pass by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Second by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
Mr. Hardjoe.
Good
So last December, we applied for a Brownfields 128 Response Program grant funding for the EPA. In the spring, we applied for about 97,000. It didn't get through the federal process till later, I think like in September, and basically it's bumped down to 70,000. What this program will allow us to do is inventory sites, our own properties, and what we can do with the funding is if we see any properties that have perceived contamination, we can basically use the funding to do like our own assessments, basically the phase one assessments, phase two assessments within our properties. And also within this program, it's kind of like the base program to do additional cleanup grants or other types of assessment grants as well. So we can apply for bigger pots of money per site, up to $200,000 per site, if we identify properties that need that kind of remediation, whether it be like pulling underground storage tanks that we weren't aware of, or kind of doing some other types of economic development as well. Some of the programs linked to the Brownfields is like job placement programs and kind of like economic development programs. To give you like an example, you know, like Oklahoma City and Tulsa, who have taken, you know, the older warehouses and kind of converted those into like economic development types of projects, is basically what this program is kind of like the seed for in doing some of those things. So it's a small program, but it's kind of like the base program for a lot of things that happen from that. So and we're allocating like $20,000 to basically purchase a mobile XRF that will be handled by the environmental program and kind of replace some of their old equipment that they have too.
Okay, any questions? Yes, Thomas.
Is this for just tribal lands or individuals?
Yeah, it's for tribal lands. We haven't got any clarification if it can be used on allotted lands, but allotted lands, other tribes have been doing projects on there, so we're just going to have to do some clarification if those fundings can directly be used on it. But that's one of the things other tribes have used it for as well. And actually, the tribal citizens are going to be stakeholders. So as part of this program, we have to outreach to the citizens as well and just kind of get them in the process of, you know, what our plan is to look at the properties, how we're going to kind of prioritize those properties, and how we kind of just get input from all the stakeholders. So as part of this program, we will have to get those landholders and citizens, you know, together at the table and say, you know, this is the program and this is how it works and how you can be involved in the process.
And then, well, the reason I'm asking, I've got an email from a citizen that has inherited a lot of lands, and this kind of an issue.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I'm asking you then.
Okay.
So you'll...
Yeah, I can definitely get clarification for you on that. And so one of the things is, if we use funds on these properties, it has to go into a national database that everybody can see. That's the only kind of downside or effect of the program, is if we use funds for it, it has to go into this national database where everybody has access to it and kind of sees where this location is. So that's the only thing.
Okay, thank you.
Dale.
Frank, since Environmental Services, since they're getting the XRF out of this grant, will they be responsible for the phase ones too, or are you going to contract them out?
That's a good point. We'll probably a combination of both, just development internal, and then also on some of the bigger ones, contracting them out as well, because we'll have the funding set aside just to do site-specific activities, which includes the phase ones and phase twos. So depending on the complexity of the site, we'll look and see what we can do with those funds.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, any more questions? No questions? Roll call vote.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Trehola?
Yes.
Chairman, 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passed.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item we have is NCA 17-208, a law of Muscogee Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation to the Muscogee Creek Nation Cultural Center and Archives Department for the restoration and maintenance of the Council House. Sponsors Mark Randolph.
Motion to pass.
Motion to be passed by Mark Randolph.
Second.
Second by Dale Beaver. Discussion.
Ms. Pipe is down, Mr. Beaver.
Okay.
for this too, I also wanted to add this and replace it with the original budget narrative. The amount is the same overall. It's just the line items on this one match up. That was the previous one for the grants. I did want to give you all a copy of that one. It's updated. Oops, here we go.
Thank you.
Just the funds to pay for the exhibit, finishing the design and installation of what's going to go in the permanent exhibit for the council house. It will be an exhibit that covers kind of the events that took place within that building during that time. We'll be using period piece furnishings that will also be cases in some instances that will house original objects, and it'll pay for the exhibit panels. And the design and layout of those advertising, since it has been a while since the council house has been open, we do think it's important to let people know that it is open again. And any electrical installation that needs to be done for some of the interactive elements in the exhibit, that's also included in this appropriation request. And any hardware for those exhibits, like the digital repeaters or things that are audio elements and electrical elements that go in there. So that's how those are broken down in that justification. Excuse me.
Mark.
Last night we went and did a walkthrough to the council house, and it was very impressive. Y'all done a great job so far. It was so nice to see. And you know, so clean and restored, and it looks great. So I just want to say that much and say thank you for your hard work. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Question?
Yeah, I'm good.
Mm-hmm. Any questions? Comments? Hearing none, roll call vote.
Mark Randolph.
Yes.
Del Beaver.
Yes.
Thomas Shahola.
Yes.
Chairman, I have 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
And be forwarded to BF&J for a funding source. Next item we have is NCA 17-214. Logan Muskoka Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation for the Muskoka Creek Nation Tribal Driveways Department for the purchase of equipment. Sponsors Del Beaver.
Chairman, I make a motion to be passed.
Motion for D pass by Del Beaver.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. Discussion.
Mr. Best, please.
For the amount that's requested, is total of 3 different pieces of equipment, or a backhoe, a replacement of the backhoe, replacement of a dump truck, and then a replacement of a haul truck that we use to move our equipment around. Back to the buy bid part of it. I'm not sure if you actually got that paper or not, but it kind of breaks down the truck. The dump truck is the one that's going as that will be participating through the buy board on for the dump truck, because the truck itself, just the cab and chassis, The GSA price was $109,985. That's just the body, you know, just the truck. And then you were having to piece it together, you know, the bed. They said a 10-foot bed starts at $17,500 and goes up from there. But going through buy board, we can buy the complete truck, a turnkey delivered for $109,995. So the GSA price is $106,000. I got that backwards. So it's only $3,000 difference from what we're expected to pay versus what we could just start out as. So you're saving, like I said, around $20,000 right off just to being able to go through the buy board on that truck itself. Because like I said, you get the complete truck for $110,000 versus the truck body at $106,000. So that's the price on that. And let's see, one of the other was the backhoe.
Jim.
Yes.
Yes.
A question on the box on the dump truck. It just says ox dump. Is that going to be a demolition bed?
No, that's a demolition bed will not work for what we do.
Really?
Yeah, because the demolition bed is a half round, you know, and a lot of the tailboards are kind of half round, triangle type, and that would not allow us to spread the gravel like we do. With the regular typical bed, dump truck bed that's 8 foot wide, you can tailboard, is what they call it, the gravel out. Whereas if we had to go with a demolition bed, we would have to dump and you lose your distance amount and you can take that gravel versus spreading it. Because you can spread an average load of gravel a little over 100 foot, about 3 inches, 4 inches thick with a regular dump truck bed. Whereas, like I said, the way the demolition bed is set up, it's just not set up to spread gravel. It's set up to just dump.
The demolition beds that you've used, did they not have the latches on the gate?
Like, yeah, but the way the bed is made, actually the bottom part of the bed was like 6 foot versus 8, and the bed was, like I said, tapered, so it still wouldn't.
Right.
It wouldn't spread like we would need it to.
So do you haul any heavy stuff at all, like riprap or anything?
Occasionally, not a whole lot, but not yeah, much. Occasionally, yeah, not very much. Okay. I think we've hauled 2 loads last year, you know, and then probably year before that, maybe 5 or 6. It's just something we don't hardly deal with, is riprap. So. But no, a demolition bed wouldn't work for what we do. And then on the backhoe, the original price that we had gotten on the backhoe was for the state price is $97. I'm looking for my paper here. $94. And then going through the NJPA price, it knocked it down to, and with the trade-in of an old case backhoe we've got, that's where it knocked it down to $66,474, which you should have a copy of that one there. So it saved that much money going through the NJPA. Pricing, and like it shows on papers, it's 3% cheaper than the state pricing. Okay. And then on the Dodge 5500, which you have a copy of all the different quotes from the different dealers to the price range. And then which we will have a trade-in going towards that, and the trade-in is varying anywhere from $12,000 to $14,000, but it's they're all saying now that they can't give you a hard number for one until they actually do the trade. But that was just the estimate they give for the trade-in of the truck.
So you know which one you're going with?
Well, we have to get back with them to confirm these numbers, because these numbers were back in August.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'm sure they're going to change some, but I'm not exactly total how much. Because some of these trucks that they quoted were 18s, and I think one or two were 17s. Mm. So there is some difference in the years in there.
Questions? No question. So this is to replace the your existing.
Yes, you know, our dump truck is a 2000 model, so it's 17 years old. The mileage quit on it at 400,000, you know, for the last 2 years. So I'm not sure what actually on it now. Our backhoe, the case backhoe, which was a backhoe or a backup backhoe, it's a 2001, so it's got some age on it. And the hour shows roughly 1600, but that quit some time ago also. And then the truck that we're the Dodge that we're replacing is a 2008, and it's got right at 200,000. And in the last couple years, we probably have invested about what the truck's worth on trying to keep it on the road. So, but yeah, so all this is a replacement of everything of what we're wanting.
Okay. No questions? Roll call vote.
Del Beaver?
Yes.
Thomas Yohola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Before the DF&J for our funding source. Down to other business. We have one another business.
Mr. Chairman, I want to add NC17-217 to the agenda. It's a law of the nation authorizing appropriation of funds for the purchase of trust property located in Hughes County, Oklahoma.
Motion been made to add NCA-17-217 to the agenda by Thomas Shahola.
Second.
Seconded by Mark Randolph. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? None opposed. So we have NCA-17-217. Allow Muskoka Creek Nation authorizing an appropriation of funds for the purchase of trust property located in Hughes County, Oklahoma. Sponsor is Thomas Yohola. Motion for due pass by Thomas Yohola.
Second.
Second by Dale Beaver. Discussion. Yes. Yes.
Mr. Chairman. Received this today and went over it just briefly. And in the body of the proposed legislation, it doesn't show who would be there, who the surface owner is. Doesn't show it.
Okay.
And I see a letter from the principal chief showing that this thing put up to bid and there was no bids, and you would, you know, go through with the process, and I don't see who the record owner is.
Yes,
I see this here.
Yeah,
Edmund Marshall.
Yes.
Okay. Now, as I recall, we acted on an action before for Mr. Marshall.
Yes.
Is this the same track?
No, it's very close by, as you can see on this map right here.
Okay.
This is another tract of land. This is the tract that we are purchasing, which is right adjacent to a USA and trust property. But that property you're referring to previously is this track right here.
Okay. Well, that clarifies the, you know, what I need to know, because I know we had.
And I confirmed that with the realty, that this is trust property, so it'll be a trusted trust transfer, like we've done with other properties.
Okay, that's my question.
Thank you. We can do that again.
Okay, any questions? Dale, Mark? More questions?
Tom? No.
No more questions? Roll call vote.
Thomas Shahola?
Yes.
Mark Randolph?
Yes.
Dale Beaver?
Yes.
Chairman, I have 3 in favor, 0 against.
3 in favor, 0 against. That motion passes.
Okay, thank you.
That reported to you. Also reported to you at BFHA for friendly source. Down to announcements. Do we have any announcements from... Yes, Thomas.
I got other business.
Oh, okay.
We are in receipt of applications for Christmas for churches. And as I understand, those churches that have received funds in the past have to submit receipts for their past, past payments or allocations. And before they are eligible for others, other appropriations, then all those receipts need to be up to date. And I think that we have an application from a church now that we have not received receipts on. So my question is, what do we not fulfill their application for the church Christmas fund? Hate to do that, but I'd like to at least bring it up to address it. Okay, now let me kind of tell you the circumstances. I was made aware of this by another council member, and I went to the courthouse after they received their $50,000 grant. I went to the courthouse and saw where they had. Well, they were to renovate the church that they were in. That's what the application was for. And following that, they purchased a existing church within the town. And the purchase price for the church was $30,000. So that leaves $20,000 that they do not account for. And further, the church that they made the application for, they sold and received an amount of $6,000. And so we did not have any receipts as far as I know. And they've been contacted, but we don't have a response. So I wanted to, bring this to the attention of the, committee to see how we're going to address this. But to me, it seems like it's just, clear cut that I don't like to reject any applications, but when there's outstanding receipts that need to be submitted, we don't have them, then I don't think we, and according to our policies, we shouldn't be issuing funds for that church for anything. Mr. Dillinger, are you aware of this? And in your comments?
I would, I don't know that I have anything to add other than what you said. I think the fact that they were supposed to be used for a certain purpose and then were not, and then we've never received funds, I would think that would make them ineligible for the Christmas funds. And we've been given some information on that situation, and we're looking into it. So I don't know, there may be further action that the nation may need to take as well.
Okay. Now, another question is that, I asked about how these applications were going to be processed, and I guess they're going to be forwarded, for disbursement. Then the question comes, are all these churches within the jurisdiction? And the response that I got is that, deeds have been sent along, accompanied, with those applications. But then who knows where the report of the deed, if it's within the jurisdiction or not. So who's going to determine if they're all in jurisdiction by the deeds? I know most of them are probably within the jurisdiction, but you know, we might have one or two that had, that might have, you know, submitted an application. Then nobody really knows where all these churches are at. They just, once they come in from this office, they just go through the processing.
Are you asking me? I'll give an answer to you.
Oh, well, give me an answer. You know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't want to speak out of turn.
No, go ahead. Mr. Dillon.
Representative Yohola. You know, one thing we may be able to do, and I don't mean to put Frank on the spot here since he's here, but one thing that maybe could be done with, if the deeds are being submitted, maybe then those could be submitted to Frank, and with the, with GIS, he could determine if they're within the boundaries or not. So that may just be one more step, I guess, that council might have to do, but you know, I think Frank has that information, so that can probably be done easily.
We used an online tool to cite the storm shelters that was available on the website, correct? Yeah. Rachel was able to do that fairly easily based on the deed and address information that was available.
But some of those are really rural, the churches.
True.
So mm-hmm. Yeah, we can definitely do research and find it for you.
Yeah, I know in the past we've had a couple of applications that were outside of jurisdiction, and then nobody's aware of where all these churches are at, and I know two were outside, and so that had to be brought to their attention, and that's why I'm, you know, bringing this up. But if we have a way to satisfy, well, you know, that's fine. Okay, thank you.
Yes, Speaker.
Thank you, Chair. Gaines, do you know which church Representative Hill is referring to?
The first one?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, so be sure to hold on to that, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, Mark.
I'd agree with Mr. Yohola. We do, you know, we have it in law. We have to have receipts, and that's just part of accountability for the nation or for our citizens. But I just, and just for the record, I'll just say, as long as we're consistent and fair, and that applies to everybody, mm-hmm. across the board, whether they be churches, ceremonial grounds, mm-hmm. whatever, mm-hmm. it should apply to everybody, and we should be checking for everybody when they come and apply for money to see if everybody's receipts have been turned in. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Yes, Dale.
So I just got a question. So this church, did they, they're being denied, I'm just trying to figure this out, they're being denied the Christmas money because they haven't turned in receipt from another part of money?
Appropriation, yes.
Okay, So just because they haven't turned in receipts from another appropriation, then they're being denied this money. And so have all the churches that have that we granted money to need to have their receipts in before they get the Christmas money?
Well, this was like 3 years ago.
Oh, 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. So how long do they have, the churches have to get their receipts turned in, I guess?
It's usually upon when the project is finished mm-hmm. or 90 days after the cash has been, or the check has been cashed.
90 days, project completed, 90 days.
Or project completed.
Okay.
It's usually the standard form.
So I was just making sure that we're just kind of either we're limited to they've turned the receipts, they got to return the receipts from the Christmas money, right? From last year, right? Is that?
Well,
no.
Any appropriation.
Okay, so it's going to be by any appropriation.
Yes.
Okay. I was just getting clear on that. No. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Yes.
Yes, I'm going to bring up something else. I was here at the HEW meeting last night, and there were other council members there other than the committee, and there were some items on the agenda. The sponsor was not absent, well, was absent, and those recipients were not here, and they acted on
three.
Those proposals. Mm-hmm. But I think the rules of procedure says that there's no action no action can be taken if the sponsor is not here or a co-sponsor. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. What can we do, Speaker? Is there any way we can address that? Because I was at the meeting also, and I was surprised. I mean, even though it wasn't a whole lot of money, if people come in and are asking, they should be here, or the sponsor mm-hmm. should be here. Somebody should be here to answer questions. They were just routed through.
I agree. We'll address that at planning Tuesday. Other business.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Announcements.
Ned?
I've got an announcement.
Yes.
If any of your departments have some large boxes like these, we need some.
Are you looking at it?
No, no, anybody. No. Well, bring them up, please. Or we can have Anthony pick them up, because we're going to start wrapping these boxes tomorrow and the next day for the food drive, so we need a lot more.
Okay. All right. Yes, Thomas.
I got an announcement. This pertains to the Honor Guard. You know, we have, the Honor Guard has interacted with other Native nations, the Seminoles and the Sacandaux. And just recently, the Honor Guard was called by the Oakland, Missouri to attend a veteran stand down. And that's where vendors come in to let the widows and those heirs, let them know what programs are available. And so they invited the Honor Guard to participate in the grand entry, you know, which they did. And while they were there, they were noticed by the Iowa tribe. And so they called, and they were going to have a powwow, and they don't have an Honor Guard. So they called our Honor Guard to know if we would participate and to bring their tribal flag in, which was the Iowa. And so we had a meeting, and we agreed that we would. But also told them that, you know, we'd be glad to bring in their flag, plus we bring ours in also, you know, which we did. And we had a good conversation, and saying that even though our governments do not interact, we as Honor Guards can interact with other nations. So it's good, you know, goodwill to interact like that. So I just want to let you know that they do interact with other Native nations, and they will, and I got a report back, and they were well received. So I just wanted to, you know, pass that on.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
Any council reps need to turn in your names for your food baskets to Julie.
Okay.
ASAP. Please.
All right. All right. No other announcements. We're down to adjournment. Benediction. Mark, would you offer that verse to serve as a serve as adjournment?
Lord, we're thankful for all your blessings, your many blessings, Lord, and the sustenance of life that you've given us, the joy of living, Lord. Thankful for the breath, and we honor you in all ways, Lord. Thankful for the air and for the ground and all the surroundings, all the beauty that you've made, Lord. And we're thankful for the change of the weather time, for a new season to come in, Lord, and all the memories that it brings with it, Lord. Ask that you be with our nation, Lord, that you continue to anoint us and appoint us, Lord, and show us favor. Pray that Thanksgiving would be over all our people. And I pray for those who don't have a place to lay their head or food for themselves or their family, Lord. I pray that you would make a way and that you would lead them to a place where they could be warm, where they could be fed. Just thankful for all that you do. Say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.